We're holding four lines from the bottom on Yod Amud Beis and running out. We've been talking about the last thing we were talking about was Yosef's advice to his brothers about when they're traveling home. Al tugezu b'darech. So now the Gemara gives another piece of advice about when a person's traveling, what they should and what they should and shouldn't do. Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Rav Chiya. Hamahalach baderech al yoicha yosim mishnei rabbim. When a person is traveling or walking on the road, he shouldn't eat more than a person usually eats during times of famine, during times of starvation. Eat less than, eat much less than usual, in other words. So the Gemara says, my timer, so why? So there's two reasons. Hocha here in Bavel, Targimu, they explain that it means mishum mayona, because of mayona. Now what's mayona? Rashi gives two explanations. One is that the person shouldn't get a stomach ache, so mayonim aloshin me'ayin, because he's going to be walking a lot, and if he eats as much as he usually does, he's going to end up getting a stomach ache. And the other possibility, Rashi says, maloshin mayon, which means a fountain that you're going to have, like his stomach is, so to speak, going to be pouring from one part into another. Again, in other words, it's going to mess up his digestion. Tosfos also similarly says that it means bnei me'ayin have a kosher lahu. It's bad for your stomach. So kind of combining together these two explanations. Anyway, so that's one reason. So why a person shouldn't eat a lot when they're traveling. B'ma'arava amri, and in the West, meaning in Eretz Yisrael, they said mishum mezoni, because of food, because he may run out of food afterward. If he eats too much at the beginning of his trip, he may not have anything left later on in the trip. So the Gemara says my benayu. What's the practical difference between them? Ikka benayu di yosib ba'arba. One nafkamina between them would be if the person is not walking, but rather traveling in a boat. So now there's no issue of mayona because his digestion is not going to be affected in any particular way by eating a normal amount when he's on the boat. He's not walking. On the other hand, the issue of mizoni still exists. He may run out of food. Inami, or another possibility, another nafkamina, the ka'ozo may avna la'avna. When he's going from, if he's going from one inn to the next, so he's going between, he's going from one village, from one inn to the next. So mizonos he's going to find everywhere he goes. So therefore, he doesn't have to worry about running out of food. But on the other hand, there is still the issue. If he's walking, then there's the issue of mayona. So obviously, therefore, if he's traveling, not walking, and he's going from one village to another, then neither rule would apply. And then bepashtus he can eat, and then bepashtus he can eat a normal amount. Okay. Another thing, Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Rav, Kolam Marav Atma B'Shnei Ravon, when a person makes himself hungry during years of famine, so in other words, there's a famine, he himself maybe has enough food, but he makes sure to eat less than normal. Which the part of the idea of that, therefore, is he's participating in the tzara of the tzibur, even though maybe it doesn't affect him on a personal level. So Nitzel Mimisa Mishuna. So that saves him from, actually, sorry, I skipped a line. Rav Papa, kol paraso, paraso ochel choda rifta. Rav Papa used to eat one loaf of bread every parasa that he went. A parasa is about 2 or 3 miles. Kasava, mishum mayona. So he held that the only problem is mayona, the problem that it may upset his digestive system. Well, Rav Papa was, the Gemara mentions elsewhere, Rashi brings it over here, was Baal Beten. He had a large stomach, so therefore he wasn't concerned running around. So therefore he wasn't concerned about Mayana, and he held that the issue of running out of food is not an issue. So therefore he would eat one loaf of bread every parsa. So Rashi says, first of all, he was a Baal Beten, and also Kreise Rechava, his stomach was bigger than normal. So therefore, he figured that he could eat one loaf of bread per parasa, which is a fairly large amount, and not worry about. So Mazzoni, he held, was not a concern, and Mayona wasn't a problem for him because he had a big stomach. Okay, Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Rav, Kolam Mariv Atzma B'Shnei Ravon. When a person makes himself hungry during years of starvation, so again, in other words, he may have plenty of food, but everybody else is, is suffering from a shortage of food, and he joins in their tzar and eats less. Nitzel mimisa mishuna. In the schus of that, he gets saved from misa mishuna, from any kind of unnatural death. Shenema, as the pasuk says, bera'av podcha mimavas. In in famine, he saved you from death. So what do you mean? Bira of meira of mi barilai. Shouldn't the expression be, shouldn't the expression be meira of? Now, what does that mean? Maharsha has a discussion over here. One way of explaining it is that maybe the expected expression in the pasuk would have been meira of padchami maves. From hunger he saved you, from death. Maharsha, there is in fact such an explanation in the Shiltas, for example. Maharsha says no, that's not what it means, because it wouldn't fit with the other, the pasuk continues with other examples like that, where it does use a bays for the disaster that's taking place, which Hashem saves you from the bad effects of. Rather, Maharsha explains that the pasuk would have said that the expected expression of the pasuk would be Barav Padcha Meirav. Similar to the rest of the pasuk, it describes other things like that, and each time it describes the specific effect of that disaster that Hashem is that the Eov is being told by one of his friends that Hashem won't allow such things to affect you. So then it would be Bira'av, during a time of famine, Padcha Meira'av, Hashem saved you from the bad effects of hunger. Why are we saying Mimavas generically compared to all the other ones? So therefore it means Elohochi Kamar. So the pasuk means Bishar Shamariv Atim Bishne Rabban, in the as a reward for the fact that he makes himself hungry during years of famine. And again, therefore he's showing that he participates in the tzara of the Sibur. Nitzam Mishona. In the schos of that, he's not gonna die of hunger, because as it is, he has food. But the pasuk is saying, Mimabas, that Hashem will save you. The schos of that, Hashem will save the person from other kinds of Mitzam Mishona as well. Next, Omer Rish Lakish, also lo adam lo shamish mitase b'shnei rabban. A person is not allowed to have relations during years of famine. So again, Rashi says the reason is because the person has to show tsar together with the tzibur. There are various other reasons as well. Anyway, shenemar, as we see in the pasuk, ulo Yosef yulad shnei vanim, to Yosef two sons were born, v'terem tovei shnas harav, before the years of famine came. So we see, in other words, the point is, the pasuk is making a point of mentioning that his children were born before the famine began, implying that after the famine began, the seven years famine that was supposed to be in Mitzrayim, then they wouldn't have been able to be conceived and born, because Yosef wouldn't have been having relations there. On the other hand, Tana, we learn in a Braisa, Chasuchei Vanim, people who don't have children, Mishamshin Mitesein, Mishnei Rabban, they're allowed to have relations during years of hunger, because, so Rashi says it means they weren't Makayim period of Rivia. Some other Rishonim say that no, it means if they don't have any children at all. Now, Tosfos brings up the point. One second, don't we say that Yocheved was born as they were coming into Mitzrayim, Bein Achoymus? The famine had lasted for 2 years by that point. Yosef tells the brothers that there's already been 2 years of famine and there's another five to go. So necessarily that means she was conceived during the time of the famine. So why wasn't Levi concerned about that? So Tosfos says it's not really osur, it's only a midas chasidus. So Yosef held by that, Levi did not hold by that, which leads to a huge debate among the Rishonim and Achronim about different aspects of that. I mean, how is Tosfos saying that Levi is not going to be acting with Midas Chasidus? And besides which, the expression in the Gemara over here is actually Osir, not just a Midas Chasidus. So there's a huge number of explanations. In fact, the fact is that before Matan Torah, the Ovis did keep the Torah, but they didn't always have to. They were required to, so Levi would be allowed to, and Yosef was just extra machmer on himself. Or that maybe it's not really an issue anyway, and Yosef, the whole thing from Yosef is only an asnachta. And also there's another idea of it is that they may have argued on precisely this point. If you have children at all, are you allowed to? So Levi would figure, as long as he didn't do period of Rivia, he didn't have a daughter yet, therefore he's allowed to. You need a son and a daughter to be Mekayim period of Rivia. Whereas Yosef would have held not like that. Once I have children, then that's reason enough to stop. In fact, there was a machlokes b'shamay b'shilal about that, how many children you need to be Mekayim period of Rivia. B'shamay says two boys, and b'shilal says a boy and a girl. So you could say that Yosef held like this Shammai, and Levi held like this Hillel. Then you have explanations about it. Then you have explanations about it that some of the Mefoshim say that it's primarily when there are Jews who are in trouble, and Yosef knew where his family was. They're back in Eretz Yisrael, and he knows Eretz Yisrael is affected by the famine. So as far as he knows, they're suffering from it, and therefore he has to hold back from Piriv Rediv, yeah? Whereas Levi doesn't know, the rest of the family doesn't know where Yosef is. For all they know, he's dead, and in any case, he's only one person. That's not a tzibur, so therefore he doesn't have to be machmir because of the possibility that the one brother, Yosef, is having trouble from the famine. And then there's a lot of different explanations and answers about it. There's a sicha in Chelek Chaf where the Rebbe analyzes all these answers, and he brings first of all the Rebbe gives a reason over there what the connection is. Besides that Rashi had said that you're supposed to participate in the tzar of the tzibur, there's also the idea of a time of famine shows a time when, like, so to speak, like Hashem is showing like that he doesn't want at this point the world to be operating in a normal way. So in that case, what are you doing? Having relations and then contributing to Piri Vidivya if obviously Hashem is showing that this isn't the time for it. Nonetheless, though, the Rebbe explains that the expression is that you're not supposed to do it v'shnei ravin, in years of hunger. So the Rebbe goes on to explain that, in other words, it means only when there's like a chazaka that there's going to be a famine. So not like when it first starts necessarily. So in that case, Yosef knew, and the Rebbe brings over there that Das Skenim, Balei HaTosfos says a somewhat similar idea. That, in other words, the idea is Yosef knew that there's going to be many years of famine. Levi had no way of knowing that there's going to be. Even if he heard the news that the Egyptian viceroy had predicted 7 years of famine, he doesn't know it's Yosef, of course. As far as he knows, it's some Egyptian. There's no particular need to pay that any attention. So therefore, as far as Levi is concerned, there's no chazaka of famine yet, whereas as far as Yosef is concerned, there is. This chasuchei vanim, by the way, the Ritva says a vort, what it means is not that it means that people who don't have children are allowed. Rather, what it means, the Ritva says, is if a person, chasuchei vanim, can also mean a person who doesn't have good children. His children are not acting the way they should. So what can cause that is that he was meshamash mitas v'shnei rabin. In other words, the Gemara is not saying that if he's chasuchei vanim, he's allowed to. Just the opposite. It's saying what can cause a person to have chasuchei vanim, to have bad children, is because he was meshamash mitas v'shnei rabin. So more on this topic. Tanan Rabbanan. Bizman sheYisrael shruyin b'tzar, when the Jewish people are in trouble, as, for example, we're saying over here in a famine. And by the way, there is a further machlokes whether this whole thing of not being mishamish mitasa applies only in times of famine. Does it apply in times of other disasters as well? Anyway, but now more generally, when the Jewish people are in trouble, upirish echad mehen, and one of them separates himself and says, it doesn't bother me, then the two malachi asharis who always accompany a person come, they put their hands on his head, like symbolically, like the same way, for example, as a person who's going to be executed for certain things by Beis Din, where they put their hands on his head, like to say that we don't have any responsibility for him anymore. But and they say, this Pliny who abandoned the tzibur and doesn't want to have anything to do with them, al yirav in a chamas tzibur, he will not see the comfort of the tzibur. In other words, when the tzibur eventually gets out of the tzara, he won't be around to see it anymore because he's separating himself to begin with now. Now, the separating himself can mean, in part, it can mean actually leaving the area, although it's brought from the Maharshal, who says that doesn't apply if the person is leaving. We're talking about where the person could, by staying there, help out with it. If we're talking about where he can't really help the situation anyway, then by all means, let him leave there and move to someplace safer. But we're talking about, for example, where he's moving, even though he could have helped others. An example of that is you have, for example, the beginning of Sefer Rus, when it tells over there how Elimelech and his family during a famine left Eretz Yisrael and went to Moav rather than helping the people. And also we could be talking about where not that he's physically leaving the area, but like he goes home and says, I'm just going to stay home and be comfortable and I'm not going to join in with whatever else the Tzibur is doing for the Tzara. So Tanya Idach, we learn in another Braisa in this connection, Bizman Shat Tzibur Shori B'Tzar, during a time when the Tzibur is having trouble, Al Yoma Adam, a person shouldn't say Eilach Levesi, it's fine, it doesn't affect me. I'll go home, I'll eat and drink, and my soul will be at peace. So if a person does, V'im Oisakein, if a person does that, all of Akos of Omer, on such a person, the Pasuk says, the Navi criticizes such people. Behine, in the Psukim before that, he's describing how the Jewish people are in trouble and there's going to be a Churban and there's going to be a Golos if the people don't do Tshuva. And then he describes, yet, Behine Sosin Vesimcha, there's people rejoicing and being happy. Horeg Bokar Veshochet Sain, they're killing cattle and shechting sheep for big parties. Ochel Bosa Veshoses Yayin, they're eating meat and drinking wine. And they're saying to each other, Ochel Veshose, let's eat and drink. Ki Machon Nomus, because tomorrow we're going to die anyway. So in other words, they're saying, you know what, it's a done deal. There's going to be a Golos, there's going to be a Churban. We don't care, we're going to have fun. We're going to have fun until then. Maxiv Basrei, what does the next pasuk say? The Nigla v'oznoi, the Navi says that was revealed in my ears, Hashem Tzvakos, that Hashem Tzvakos says, Im Yechupor Oven Lahazelachem Ad Temusun, that this Aveira of yours will not be forgiven until you die. So in other words, the idea is, like such people, that yeah, eventually they're going to die, and as we just said, the Malachi Asharis are saying that it's going to happen sooner, and only that is going to be mechaper for what they did, because they're not going to have kapara for it during their lifetimes if they're thinking that they don't belong, that they're separating themselves from the tzibur. In fact, actually, the Rambam lists a bunch of people that ain lam chelik loy lamaba, and one of them is this, that where the person says, there's a tzara of the tzibur, doesn't affect me, I'm going to do whatever I want, then the Rambam phrases it that he loses his place in Olam Haba for it. Anyway, so ad kan midas beninim. Now, thus far that we're describing with this mentality is the midah of the beninim, meaning, in other words, as bad as these people are, at least they recognize that they're going to die. It doesn't have enough of an effect on them because they think until then they can have fun. But then you have the even worse group. Abel b'midas rishoyim maksiv. What does it say about the rishoyim who are even worse than that? The expression in the pasuk is a soyu. People say to each other, "Come, ekhayayin. Let me go buy wine. V'nispa asheicher, and we'll drink together. So we'll drink together strong drinks. V'hoya chazeh yom macher, and tomorrow." Tomorrow will be just like today. So in other words, these are people who don't even think to the fact that eventually they're going to die. As far as they're concerned, forever it's going to be, or not forever, but whatever, at least for the foreseeable future, it's going to be good times. So Maksiv Basri, what does the next pasuk say? Hatzadik Obad, the tzadik is lost, the tzadik passes away, the ein ish samal lev, and nobody is paying attention. Why he passed away, and why is it because the tzaddik was gathered in and passed away because of the tzara. So Rashi says two possibilities. Number one, the tzaddik passes away in order that Hashem does that in order that he doesn't have to see the tzara when it comes, given that at this point, because people are acting that way, Hashem is going to bring a very harsh zera. Therefore, he makes the tzaddik pass away first in order that he shouldn't have to see it happen. And the second explanation, Rashi says, is Hashem doesn't want, at that point, that the tzaddik should daven for the people, for Rachmanus, because Hashem is not ready to show Rachmanus to them. Therefore, he causes the tzaddik to pass away, so he's not able to do that. The point being, in other words, that as bad as the Beinonim are, where we're saying that they themselves make it for themselves, that they're going to be carrying the Saveda around with them until they pass away, the Rishoyim were saying, the ones who don't even realize that there's going to be that they're ever going to die, as far as they're concerned, everything is always going to be fun and games. So then they not only cause bad for themselves, they cause evil for everybody else, because they cause the tzaddik passes away for any of the two reasons that Rashi mentions. So Ella. And in fact, on the side of it here, it brings from Shiltas that a tzaddik gomer has to join in. The expression we have in front of us in the Gemara is El Yitzar Adam Matzibur. A person should always join in the suffering of the tzibur. And on the side of it here, it brings a girsa from Shiltas that even if he's a tzaddik gomer, he needs to join in with the tzar of the tzibur. Shekein Matzinim Moshe Rabbeinu, as in fact we find with Moshe Rabbeinu, Shetzir Atzmei Matzibur, he joined in the trouble of the tzibur. when the tzibur, when the Jewish people were in trouble, Moshe didn't take the view like we like any of these people that we were saying that it doesn't affect me. And this is talking about by the war with Amalek. And we have to remember, what was the war with Amalek? Is to begin with, to ruffle Yudeim, in Refidim, to ruffle Yudeim in Divrei Torah. They slackened off from learning Torah, and that's why Amalek attacked in the first place. And we know also it says that Amalek only was able to attack the Jewish people who had been thrown outside of the Ananiah covered, the ones who were worshipping Avodah Zarah or doing other Avedas. So Moshe could have easily taken the view, listen, I wasn't ruffled Yudeim min HaTorah, I wasn't thrown out of the Anan, so it doesn't affect me. Nevertheless, he didn't act that way. He joined in with the tzara of the tzibur. Shenema, as the pasuk says, "Bidei Moshe kvedim." So Moshe is sitting over there and davening for the people. And as we learned in Masechta Rosh Hashanah, whenever he lifted up his hands, then the Jewish people, that would make that the Jewish people are looking up to Shemayim and remembering that they have to depend on Hashem, and therefore they would win. So then it says, "Bidei Moshe kvedim." Moshe's hands were heavy and getting tired. Vayikhu Evan, so he was standing there at first. Vayikhu Evan, Vayasimu Tachta, Vayeshev Aleha. So they took a stone and put it underneath him, and he sat on it. So why a stone? Did Moshe not have a single pillow or a single cushion to sit on? Why a stone? Elakach Omer Moshe. But what happened was Moshe was saying, Hoyo v'Yisrael shruin mitzar. Since the Jewish people are in trouble, they're being attacked by Amalek, and they have to fight against them. The same way I'm going to join with them in the tzar as well, and therefore I'm not sitting on something comfortable, and instead he sat on a rock. And the Braisa continues. Anybody who joins in the tzara with the tzibur, so he will have this chus that when the comfort, when the consolation of the tzibur comes, when Hashem takes away the trouble and they're in good shape again, he will be zoicha to see that because he joined in the tzara of it in the first place. Continues the Braisa. So a person might say to himself, so what? I'm going to go and do my own thing. Who's going to give Eidos against me? Now, more generally, this applies in general when a person does Averis. And in fact, we're going to learn in a couple of months in Masechta Chagiga, Be'ezt Hashem, and mentioned there, you can see over here on the side, there's a reference to Chagiga, that it mentions over there, this next piece that we're going to have now, it mentions it in general with Averis. But here, we're talking specifically about this case over here, where the person is acting like he doesn't care about the tzibur, because he can say more so than other Averis, he might say to himself, you know what, I'm going to be at home. Who's going to notice the difference? Everybody else, let's say, is going to be fasting and in shul or whatever, but who's going to notice me particularly? So you should know, Avne Beis Shel Adam, Makodesh Beis Shel Adam, Me'idim Bo. You should know, the stones and the beams of the person's own house are going to give Eidos against him. They're going to speak up in front of Hashem and say what he was doing, that he was sitting at home and enjoying himself while everybody else is fasting and davening. Shenemar, as the pasuk says, ki even mikir tizak, as the pasuk says, a stone will cry out from the wall, v'chofis me'etzi anena, and a kofis, which is a half a brick, will Rashi explains that they often would put it between two rows of wood, so me'etz from within the wood, ya'anena will answer it back. So in other words, the stones and the bricks and the beams of the house themselves will speak up about the person and say what he was doing. Dvei Rav Shila Amri, in the yeshiva of Rav Shila, they said differently. Shnei malachei asher asam lavin le'adam heid me'idin olav. The two malachim that are always accompanying a person, they are the ones who will give edus on him what he was doing, that he wasn't joining in with the tzara of the tzibur. Shenema ki malachim yitzav alach, as the pasuk says, Hashem will command his malachim to be with you. In fact, the Avudraham mentions in his Pirush on morning brachas, he says the end of the pasuk is l'shmorcha b'chol d'rachacha, and the word l'shmorcha, he says, has a double meaning. It can mean to guard you. So these malachim guard a person from dangers, and it also means to watch over you, as in when the person is doing averus, as in this case, for example, he's saying that I don't care what happens to the tzibur, I'm going to have my fun. Then they go and watch what he's doing, and then go and report it to Hashem. So this that was saying, by the way, that was saying that his house is going to say Eidos on him. What does that actually mean? So Marsha, so the Meiri says maybe what it means is his house will collapse on him. So therefore, in other words, he'll get punished by the very house that he was staying in. Marsha says what it means is eventually the fact that he was staying at home and enjoying himself while everybody else is in Sada eventually is going to become well known. So even though he was in his house, eventually Hashem is going to arrange that it becomes well known. So it's as if like the walls, as if like the four walls of his house that saw him, as if like they're going to tell about it to the public, and eventually the public is going to find out. So that's one. The second one is the Malachim, I'm going to say. Reb Chidka Oymen Shmosi Shal Adam Himi Ida Olav. Reb Chidka says a person's own neshama is going to say Eidus on him of what he did. Shenema, Mishecheves Chekecha Shmur Pischei Picha. The Pasuk says, from the one who lies in your lap, guard what you're saying when you open your mouth. So in context, the Pasuk is talking about, for example, that you can have a person has to, there can be times when a person needs not, you have to be careful what he's saying because his wife is gonna tell it to other people. But here the Gemara is doubting that the neshama is good, that mishecheves chekecha refers to your neshama, which lies within your lap, that lies within your body. It's gonna speak up against a person of what he did wrong. The yesh oimim evarav shal adam me'idim bay, and then a yesh oimim that a person's own limbs are going to say edus on what he did. Shenema atem edai ne'um Hashem. As the pasuk says, Hashem says, "You are my witnesses," says Hashem. So in context, the pasuk is talking about the Jewish people collectively, that Hashem is saying, "You're my witnesses of how I run the world." But we're doubting over here because it's in the plural that it means, in other words, a person's own evarim. Marsha explains over here actually that you have there's different kinds of averis that a person might do, and those are, and then therefore for each of those you have different kinds of things that say edus on him. So there's a person acted wrongly. So on those you have the malachim. That the malachim that watch what he's doing, report what he did. Then you have a person who did an avera with dibur, with speaking. So then his neshama, which is the neshama, is what gives him the power of speech in the first place. Then that's what says edus on him. And then the third one is, so that's why I mentioned pischei picha in that pasuk. And the third one is a person's own evarim. If a person fails to do a mitzvah saseh, he has ramach evarim corresponding to the ramach mitzvah saseh, and therefore those come and testify him on him in olam haba that he didn't do those mitzvahs. Continues the braisa. The pasuk says, "Kel emuna ve'ein ovel." Hashem is a trustworthy God, and there's no injustice in Him. Meaning that when Hashem judges a person, it's always fair and just. So what does that mean? Kel emuna. It means k'shem shenifroim in arishoyim la'olam haba. Afilu al avera kala sha'osim. Just as the rishoyim are going to be punished in olam haba, even for the small averas that they do. In the same way that tzaddikim are punished in this world, even for the small averas that they do. So this way they're cleaned up for olam haba. This that it says about the rishoyim are punished even for the small averas. The Rambam phrases this, for example. He says, let's say, for example, Yeravam ben Nevat. Yeravam ben Nevat did horrible averas. He brought Avodah Zarah into Eretz Yisrael. He prevented the Jewish people from being Olah L'Regel. All kinds of terrible things like that. Nevertheless, for example, let's say he also didn't keep the din of Eid of Tavshilin. The Rambam says he's in Gan Eden and in Olam Haba, he's also held to account for that. You're going to say, such big, terrible averas he did. Who cares about the little tiny ones? No, the point is, we're saying over here, Hashem is going to pay attention even to the little tiny ones. And so the same thing for the tzaddik, who only has the little tiny ones that Hashem cleans them up in this world. That's what it means, kelemona. And the ein oval, when the pasuk continues, there's no injustice, means the flip side of it. Just as the tzaddikim are paid a reward in olam haba, even for the little mitzvahs that they do. In the same way, the rishayim are paid a schar in this world, even for the tiny mitzvahs that they did. Then when the same pasuk continues in Hazinu, Tzadik v'yosher hu, Hashem is righteous and upright. So what does that last pasuk mean? So Omru, so they said, B'shas p'tudo, melamed, it says on the bottom over here, Shilta says, b'shas p'tudo, shel adam levesei lamay, when a person passes away, kol ma'asav niftarin melefanav, all of his deeds are brought out into the open in front of him. Niftarin would be meloshen haftarah, which means like they're opened up and shown. On the side of it here, it mentions that it's supposed to be nifratin, which means they're mentioned with pratius in detail. So all of his ma'isim are mentioned in detail in front of him. And he's told by the Beis Din Shamayla, kach v'kach asisa b'mokim pliny b'yom pliny, you did such and such in this place and on this day. And he says, yes, I agree that this is what I did. He's forced to confess that this is in fact what he did. In modern terms, they often talk about it, that a person has shown a video of everything that he did throughout his lifetime, and therefore, and he's made to see that in fact he did all these things. Marsha also refers to the fact we said before about the malachim that watch him all the time. That you have, again, there's 365 days of the year corresponding to 365 loisa says, that's why particularly we're mentioning that you did such and such on a particular day. And then you did it in a particular place also, because in other words, we said that the walls of his house are saying Eidus on him. So then he's told by the Beis Din Shamayla, Chasoim, well, now that you admit that you did such and such, sign the bill of particulars, and he has to sign it. Shenemar, as the pasuk says, biyad kol adam yachdim, through the hand of every person he signs. So in other words, Hashem writes down what a person does, and the person himself ends up having to sign off on that he did such and such, and therefore then Hashem decides what needs to be done in order to clean that up. All of us had been. Not only that, but the neshama, when it's being judged in the Beis Din Shamayla, does tziduk adin, agrees that what Hashem is doing is just and fair. And he says to the Beis Din Shamayla, you judged me validly. There's no unfairness in what you decided. Fulfilling what it says in the pasuk, l'ma'an titzdak b'davracha, Davar HaMelech says in Tilim to Hashem, in order that you are tzedek, that you are righteous in your speech. In other words, that Hashem, you speak to the neshama and tell him and show him what he did, and the neshama agrees that what Hashem was just and fair. So therefore, so all of that, in other words, so a person does averus in general, and particularly we're talking about over here, where the person doesn't join in the sort of the tzibur, then eventually he's brought to account for it in the Beis Din Shamayla, and he has to admit, and he's made to admit that indeed the charges against him are correct, and that the punishment that Hashem is deciding for him is completely fair. Next. Let's get back to, after all, the subject of the Masechta is Tainis, which is about fasting. So let's talk about, we started by mentioning in the Mishnah that when there comes a certain point when we said when the Yechidim start fasting, and we talked about yesterday who the Yechidim are and who is and isn't in that category. So let's talk more generally about the whole concept of fasting. Amar Shmuel, kol ha-yoshev b'tainis nikra choyte. Anybody who sits and fasts is called a choyte. In other words, we're not talking about obviously the established fast like Shivasa B'Tammuz and Tisha B'Av and the rest of them. And we're not talking about the ones that based in his gozer on the tzibur. We're talking about when a person individually accepts on himself a fast for whatever reason, then Shmuel says that he's called a choyte. Now, how does he get that? A person is a choyte for fasting. So Savaki Hai Tana. What it is Shmuel holds like the following Tana. The Tanya, Rabbi Lazar Akapa Berebi Yomer. Berebi, by the way, doesn't mean the son of Rebbe. Berebi, or in many places in Shas, it's spelled Beribi, means the great Taman Chacham of his time. So Rabbi Lazar Akapa is given that title. Anyway, so Rabbi Lazar Akapa says, Ma Tamad Loimer, what does it mean? A posik by the Nazir. If you have a case where Nazir became Tomei, and the posik says it on him, V'chiper, so he brings his korbanos, V'chiper olav masher chota alam nafesh, the Koyan should atone for him, should make a kapara for him, for the fact that he sinned against a nefesh. Now what is that? V'chiper is a nefesh chota. Chota ze. How, in what way was this person chota as far as a soul? Literally, to sin against a soul, you would think it means like he killed somebody. But what did he do wrong? What he did wrong is that he afflicted himself by denying himself wine. So now, if the pasuk is saying that even he only denied himself wine, and already we're calling him a choter. By the way, the Gemara mentions elsewhere in Nazir that it's not the fact is why are we only mentioning it in the case of a Nazir Tame is because now he has two things. He has two strikes against him, kind of. Number one, that he denied himself wine, and number two, that now he became Tame, and now he has to start all over again, which means that he's denying himself wine for an even longer period of time. So, Bahalo Dvorim Kavachomer, so the Balazar Kapra says, now let's make a Kavachomer. Madach, this person only afflicted himself by denying himself wine, and the pasuk for that is calling him a sinner. Hamatsar Atman, called Dover Dover, Alachas Kamavakama. How much more so a person who denies himself everything, namely by fasting. So therefore, so Rabbi Lazar is saying that he's considered a choite, and Shmuel follows suit and says that therefore he's called a choite for that. So in other words, that the person shouldn't be unnecessarily denying himself olam hazeh. This is easier to understand today, being Yudas Kislev, especially is appropriate to talk about that. A person's job in the world is to be mevarer of the world, not to run away from it and afflict himself. In fact, in Igeres HaTshuva, the Alter Rebbe talks about there are certain kinds of fasts that it's brought in various Sifrei Kabbalah and Sifrei Musar that a person is supposed to fast for different Averas. And to a certain extent, a person should do that. But the more primary thing is to give lots of tzedakah. The Mishnah Berurah, by the way, says an interesting vote on it. He says if a person does have a reason to declare a fast because of averus he did or whatever, better what he should do is rather than a fast from eating and drinking, better let him do a tinus dibur. That doesn't harm his body. So Shmuel is saying that he's a choite. On the other hand, Rabbi Lazar, I'm a Nikra Kaddish. Rabbi Lazar says, on the contrary, a person who fasts is called Kaddish. It's called a holy person. Shenamar, as it says also by the Nazir, Kaddish Yia, he will be holy. Gadol Pera Sar Rosha, he grows the hair of his head long. So again, let's make a Kavachomer. Umazesh Leitzir Atme Elamed Dover Echad Nikra Kaddish. Madach, this person only afflicted himself by denying himself one thing, wine, Nikra Kaddish, and for that he's called holy. Now, of course, a Nazir is also in three things, but we're mainly focusing on the wine because that's the big pleasure that he's denying himself. Not cutting his hair and not becoming Tamil Mess are not such pleasures that we should consider the lack of them an affliction, but wine is. So as a madach, the nazir will only held himself back from wine, and he's called kaddish. Hamatzar atzmo called davar v'davar. Alachas kama v'kama. So Rabbi Lazar says, and Rabbi Lazar, by the way, is different than Rabbi Lazar Akapper. Rabbi Lazar Akapper is a tanner. Rabbi Lazar here is an amora. Hamatzar atzmo. So madach, he holds himself back from one thing, and for that he's called a kaddish. Hamatzar atzmo called davar v'davar. Alachas kama v'kama. How much more so where he afflicts himself from everything, from fasting, and he should be called a kaddish. So the Gemara says, "With the Shmuel ha'ikri kaddish." Nu, according to Shmuel, what is Shmuel doing with the fact that the pasuk calls him kaddish? And the answer is, "Ahu agidol perakoi." That doesn't mean he, the person, is kaddish. It means it, the hair of his head, is kaddish and is also bahana. What about a little Belazar ha'nikra chote? What about according to Belazar, we're saying that he's called a sinner. The pasuk calls him a sinner. Ashachat ala nafesh. And the answer is, Rabbi Lazar would say, "Who disoyv napshe?" The fact that he allowed himself to become tame is why we're calling him a shachot ala nafesh. Because after all, that is pshat in the pasuk. Okay, the Gemara says, "Umi omer Rabbi Lazar hachi." Still, did Rabbi Lazar really say that a person who is fasting is called kadosh? Va'omer Rabbi Lazar la'olam yomud adam atzmai. A person should always estimate himself. A person should always evaluate himself. Kilu kadosh shori v'seich meyav. As if there is holiness within his stomach. In other words, that his stomach is holy, and therefore you're not allowed to weaken it, because it's like hektish. Shenema b'kirbach ha-kodesh, as the pasuk says, within you is kodesh. V'loy ovad b'ir, and I won't come into the city. So the I won't come into the city, we learned a few days ago, is that Hashem is saying that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is b'tsar, and until Yerushalayim Shalmata is built and Hashem can come into it, he's not going to come into the Yerushalayim Shalmaila. Fine, but the first part of the pasuk says, b'kirbach ha-kodesh, within you is holiness. So in other words, Hashem is saying, when you're fasting, then that holiness within you
isn't tsar, and therefore I'm in tsar as well. So we see that Rabbi Elazar is saying that a person shouldn't fast because Bikurba Chakadosh. Tosfos says a little bit differently. Tosfos, based on the Gusa that Hagos Habach brings, says what it means is that that we're saying that it's as if that a person always has Kilo Kodesh Shari Kilo Kodesh Shari Vesech Meyav, as if Hashem is always in his stomach. So therefore, always, whether he's fasting or not, he's called Kodesh. Why is Rabbi Elazar saying that only when he's fasting is he's called Kodesh? And the answer is like Kasha. It depends whether he's able to handle the tsar of the fast. If he's able to handle it, then fine, he's called a kaddish, but as Rabbi Elazar would say. But if not, then he's called Rabbi Elazar would say that he's doing something wrong. He's called a choyte. And again, you have the idea that nowadays, especially, it's difficult for people to fast. And as we're going to say now in the Gemara over here, we're going to say shortly that Talmud Chacham, especially if fasting prevents him from learning and davening properly, therefore, or Rebbeim in general, we're against the idea of fasting unnecessarily. And like Alter Rebbe says in Igeres HaTshuvah, the better thing is to do is to give lots of tzedakah. Now we have a third opinion. So far we had Shmuel saying that a person who fasts unnecessarily is called a choyte. We had Rabbi Elazar saying it's called a kodesh. Rish Lakish, Rish Lakish says a third opinion. A person who fasts nikra chosid. Not only is a kodesh, he's a chosid. Shenemar, as the pasuk says, goymil nafshay ish chesed. It says chosid over here in the Gemara. Really, it's supposed to be chesed. Goymil nafshay ish chesed. The person who is goymel his soul is a man of chesed, which means, so Rashi explains, goymel means like v'yom he gomel asyitzchok, it means to wean himself. So it means that he weans himself off food. He fasts instead of eating. So then he's called ish chesed. He's called a man of chesed, a chesed. Or Rashi says a second explanation, goymel can be related to the word tagmul, giving something. He's giving away to Hashem. He's giving his neshama away to Hashem by fasting. And then the pasuk continues, but oichel she'eroi, a person who troubles his body, his she'er means his flesh, achzori is a cruel person. So in other words, when a person is fasting unnecessarily, then he's called an achzor. Tosfos, in fact, says that the word goymol nafshe means something else. On the contrary, what Rish Lakish is saying is, when he does a chesed for his neshama and he doesn't fast, then he's called a chosid. So in fact, that Tosfos understands Rish Lakish exactly the other way around. That not that he is a chosid for fasting, but rather that he's not a chosid. That he's a chosid for not fasting. So Marsha explains again what we mean is the fact is you have the two halves of the pasuk goymol nafshe ish chesed, which Rashi is explaining that he does a good thing by fasting, but oicher she'eri achzori, but we're saying if he troubles his flesh that he's an achzor, that he's a cruel person. So again, the distinction would be like we just said in the Gemara, whether he's able to handle the fast and still be able to daven and learn properly or not. More on this topic. Omer of Sheshes, Hai Bar Bei Rav Yosef. By the way, they do point out that it happens very often when a person is fasting and is hungry that he's more irritable. So therefore, that's also included in this. If a person is going to be fasting, they have to be much more careful to not get into other bad midos as a result of that. That's also included in Va'oichos She'erei Achzori. If a person is going to be fasting, he has to be very careful that it's not in a way that's going to put him in a bad mood and get him into fights with people. Omer of Sheshes, so in this connection, Rav Sheshes says, Hai Bar Bei Rav Yosef B'Tanisa, a Talmud Chacham, a yeshiva student, who sits and fasts, and that tends to affect his learning. He can't learn as well. Leichu Kalba L'Sheru say, a dog might as well eat his food. In other words, it's not doing him any good. It's just the equivalent of fasting because he doesn't have enough food, so rather than that he gets credit for it. So in other words, the idea is that he shouldn't be doing that. He should rather be eating, so that way he'll be able to daven. That way he'll be able to daven and learn properly. Another din in this connection, Amar Rabbi Yirmiyahu Ba'Abba, Ein Tainus Tzibur B'Bavel Ela Tisha B'Avad. in Bavel when it comes to the strictness of fast. Now, we mentioned in our Mishnah that you have the first three, you have the fast that the Yechidim do, you have the first three fasts that the Tzibur does, where we said they're very lenient fasts. They're fasts like Shiva Asa V'Tamuz and the rest of that group, where you can eat until the morning, and where you can where you're mutter to bathe and anoint yourself and so on and so forth. So in Bavel, you're the only thing that has the din of a tiny tzibur, where you have to do like Avelis, where you're not allowed to wear your shoes and you're not allowed to bathe and so forth, and you have to stop the day before, is only Ela Tisha B'Av Bilvad, only Tisha B'Av alone. Now, why is that? There are a few reasons that Rishonim give why other fasts should not have that severity in Bavel. Tosfos says, because practically speaking, Bavel has a lot of rain. We learned that yesterday. Therefore, they don't need the kind of fasts of the caliber of Tisha B'Av. A number of Rishonim, the Rav Yah and others, bring a reason, because in Bavel there was no Nasi, and in order for there to be a real full-fledged Tainis Tzibur, you need there to be a Nasi, and in Bavel they didn't have one. The Nasi lived in Eretz Yisrael. And a third reason that the Ravid says is that the Chachamim gave the people and wanted to give the people in Bavel a break. Given that most of them were poor, they didn't want to have to make them not do malacha unnecessarily. Given that it was a hot, humid climate, they didn't want to prevent them from bathing and anointing themselves, so forth, unnecessarily, and so forth. And therefore, the Chachamim didn't put the chumras of Tanias Tzibur in Bavel because of that. Another point, going back to the matter of Tamar Chachamim, that they shouldn't fast. So Ein Tamar Chacham, Rashoi Leisha Betainis, a Tamar Chacham, in fact, is not allowed to just fast voluntarily, because he's reducing the work of Shemayim, meaning, in other words, he's not going to be able to learn Torah as well, and that defeats the purpose of the fast then. So in fact, in Shulchan Aruch it mentions that applies not only to Tamar Chachamim, it applies also, for example, to Malamdim, given that they have a responsibility to their Talmidim to teach them properly. If they fast unnecessarily, then they're interfering with that. They're interfering with teaching their Talmidim, and they're not allowed to do that. Now, we had said in the Mishnah, we said that during the first few fasts, they're allowed to eat and drink after dark. The fast, in other words, only begins the next morning, like by Shiva Asa V'Tamuz and other such fasts. So let's talk about now, so there we're talking about Tanias Tzibur. Let's talk about more generally what happens when a person makes a fast for himself. A person accepts on himself a personal fast, whether for whatever reason, whether for tshuva, whether a Tanias Cholam or whatever. Let's talk about some dinim of that. The Amr of Za'eira Amr of Huna, Yachid Shekibel all of Tainis, if an individual accepts on himself a fast, Afilo Ocha Vashosa Kol Alayla, even if he eats and drinks that whole night, that's not a problem, it doesn't affect his fast. L'macha Hu Mispalo Tefilas Tainis. The next day, during his fast, he can be saying the Tefillah of the Tainis, in other words, he can say Aneinu. So Rashi explains, in other words, the point is, that's exactly that. So in other words, he said before, so the day before, during Mincha, he had accepted on himself that he's going to fast. There's a nusach that it actually says to say at the end of Shemana Esrei, during Alakai Nitzor, where the person says, Harenu L'fanacha B'tainis Mocher, etc. So now, even though he's eating and drinking that night, it's still considered a full-fledged fast, and therefore he can say Aneinu in his tefillos the next day. On the other hand, Lon B'tan Nisai, on the other hand, if he stays overnight in his tainus, so let's say, for example, he had decided, on Monday afternoon, he had decided he's going to fast on Tuesday. He ended up fasting on Tuesday. Now he now overnight, he doesn't break his fast Tuesday night. Instead, he continues to be fasting all the way until Wednesday morning. Einim espal shall tainus. During that time, he doesn't say anenu, because during that time, he can't say anenu. And we're going to see in the Gemara soon why. So according to Rashi, the vote is, in other words, that even though the night before the fast he's still eating, nevertheless that doesn't affect his fast. Rashi, by the way, mentions elsewhere in the Gemara in Shabbos that in principle, when a person is fasting, he should be saying Anenu in all the tefillos of the fast. Which would mean, in other words, that here in principle, he should, and Tosfos mentions this as well over here. In principle, then, he should really be saying Anenu even the night before the fast. So in our example, he accepted the fast on himself Monday night. He's not actually starting the fast until Tuesday morning. Nevertheless, Monday night in Ma'ariv, already really he should be saying Anenu. Even though he's eating, it already belongs to the day of his fast. However, Rashi brings over there from the Goyanim, and Tosfos brings it over here, that we don't do that. We don't, by any fast, we don't say Anenu by Ma'ariv or by Shacharis, because what might happen, the person might end up breaking his fast for whatever reason, and then it's going to turn out that he lied. What do you mean? You're saying an Anenu. B'yom tzom tani seinu. Hashem listened to our tefillahs on the day of our fast. How can you call it B'yom tzom tani seinu if you're not actually fasting? So therefore, that's why we have on minhag, the nusach Ashkenaz, and on nusach is that we say Anenu only in mincha of any fast day. The Sfardim, on the other hand, have the minhag to say Anenu in Shacharis as well. And the Taimanim even have the minhag to say Anenu in the night before. So even, let's say, for example, a fast like Tisha B'Av, for example, which actually begins the night before, they do in fact say Anenu in Ma'ariv of Tisha B'Av night, because that's the Dina de Gemara. After all, it's like that any tefillah that belongs to a fast day, you can be saying Anenu. Now, the Rif and a number of Rishonim have a different Girsa in the Gemara over here, that what we're talking about over here is, let's say on Monday, the person made himself a commitment. He accepted on himself in davening. Let's say that he's going to fast 2 days in a row. He's going to fast Tuesday and Wednesday, let's say. So now what the Gemara is saying is, even though he ate and drank in the night between Tuesday and Wednesday, that doesn't affect his fast. Nevertheless, Wednesday is still considered part of his tightness, because he accepted it altogether. On the other hand, the lon batan nisa would mean if he's fasting without having accepted it previously on himself, then it doesn't work as a fast day that he can be saying anenu on. So the Gemara says, Amar Rav Yosef, my kasavar Rav Huna. What does Rav Huna hold? Svirulei ein mis'anin l'shois. Is it that Rav Huna holds that there's no such thing as a tainus of only a certain number of hours? In other words, tainus has to be an entire day. So in this case, we're saying, for example, that the person continued to fast into the night after its fast, but nevertheless, that's not considered a tainus because it's only a tainus choice, because his original plan was to break his fast Tuesday night, and now he's continuing just to fast the whole Tuesday night. So is it that Rav Huna holds that? Or maybe Rav Huna holds there is such a thing as a tainus shoyis. There is such a thing as a fast that covers only a certain part of the day. But maybe Rav Huna holds v'amis'an al shoyis enimus follow tefillas tainus. But maybe Rav Huna holds fine, it can be considered a tainus, but it's not important enough to say. It's not important enough to say anenu about it. So in other words, if we said that there's no such thing as a tainus shoyis, would mean that the person could at any point during this tainus shoyis decide, you know what, never mind, I'm going to go ahead and eat. On the other hand, if we say it is a valid tainus, it would mean he can't. He took on himself that he's not going to eat. But nevertheless, it's not important enough to say anenu. So which is it? Amalei Abayas. Abayas says to Rabbi Yosef, well, Olam Kasavar Rav Huna Mis'anin L'Shoyis. Rav Huna does in fact hold that there is such a thing as a tainus shoyis. V'amis'anin L'Shoyis Mis'falot Tefillas Tainus. Furthermore, we can say that Rav Huna does hold that even a tainus shoyis is important enough to say Tefillas Tainus, to say anenu for. V'shayni hocha, but over here is different. De'ikra shoris delil, you're like kabla le me'ikra. The difference is that these hours of the night, he never accepted on himself in the first place, and without accepting it on himself, it's not important enough to say anenu. So in other words, if he had pre-accepted on himself that he's going to fast for those shoris, then that would work. But not like this, when it's just he just decided on the spot to fast on those hours, and he's not, and he didn't do a kabbalah ahead of time. Which is a point that we're going to talk about more in the Gemara tomorrow, that's Hashem, what exactly the definition of a tainus shoyis is. Anyway, in this connection, the Gemara says, Ma'ukva ikla l'ginzak. Ma'ukva one time visited Ginzak, which is a place in Iran nowadays. Rashi mentions, by the way, that there's a girsa that was in front of him that says not Ma'ukva, but Rebbe Akiva. And in fact, there is such a girsa, this Gemara is also in Avodah Zarah, there's such a girsa over there also. Rashi says can't be, because the three questions that we're going to say over here that he didn't know, Rabbi Akiva certainly would have known the answer to them. Second of all, when we have a story about Rabbi Akiva who was a Tana, then you're going to have usually be quoted from a Braisa, Tanan Abadon, Maisa Rabbi Akiva, or something to that effect. So therefore, Rashi says it must be Ma'ukba who was an Amora. On the other hand, the Gvura Sari on our Gemara says that no, the fact is, we see that at least one of the things they asked him is in fact something in a Mishnah. And if it was Ma'ukva, the Amora, how does he not know a Mishnah? So just the opposite, it must be Rabbi Akiva. Fine, Rabbi Akiva is entitled to argue with the Mishnah. And as far as that, it's not quoted in the Lashon of a Braisa, he says we have other examples of that in Shas also, where it says a story about a Tana, and it says it in a Lashon of a statement of Amoroyim rather than a Braisa. So anyway, so Ikla le Ginzak, so he, whoever it is, Ma'ukva Rabbi Akiva, visited Ginzak. Bomine, they asked him, Mis'anan l'shoiz in Mis'anan l'shoiz, what's the din as far as fast? Is it possible to have such a thing as a tainis shoiz, where you're accepting on yourself to only fast for a certain number of hours, or not, or does such a thing not work and he can eat anytime he wants? And why have a yada? He didn't know the answer. They also asked him, Kan kanin shol nochrim, barrels that were used for wine by goyim, where the wine that was in them was yain nesach, Asurin oymotorin, are they osur or are they mutter? Is there a way to make them mutter? And again, lo havu biyadei, and he didn't know the answer to that either. And a third thing they asked him, b'mesh shimish Moshe kol shivas yemei miluyim, what did Moshe wear during the 7 days of miluyim? Aaron and his sons wore the big dekona, but Moshe during those 7 days was also acting as a kohen and teaching them the avodah, and he himself was bringing the korbanos. So what did he wear? It never says anything about him wearing big dekona. And the pastor Sadashi says it wouldn't be b'kavod dik that he's just going to wear his regular street clothes. And again, like Habib Yada, and again, he didn't know the answer. Why they wanted to know about that third one, by the way, there are so that one doesn't seem to have a nafkamina lalacha, but they wanted to know in order to understand the psukim. So also the shol be medrasha, so Ma'ukva or Rabbi Akiva went and asked in the Bes Medrash Amrulay, and they gave him answers to all three things. Yes, the halacha is there is such a thing as a tainis shoyz, and you can't even say anenu on it, which again we'll talk about more details about that tomorrow, Bes Hashem. Number two, barrels of wine that were used by goyim are mutter after 12 months. Then you can use them even without cleaning them out or kashering them, because any taste of yain nesach that was in them is long gone after 12 months. Within 12 months, Rashi says you would need irui shloisha yamim. You would need to pour water into them, and then you'd need to clean them out thoroughly with water over a 3-day period, as the Gemara talks about details about that in Masechta Avodah Zarah. And as far as the third question, the answer is b'choluk lavan. He was wearing a white choluk. The choluk is a long shirt, like similar to the ksonis of the kohenim. So he wore that. Rav Kahana masni b'choluk lavan she'in le'imra. Rav Kahana says specifically it was a choluk lavan that had no imra. An imra is a hem. So Rashi explained, usually clothes would be made out of multiple parts that are sewn together. For example, the sleeves are sewn to the body of it. Here, what they did is the whole thing was made in one piece. Now, why is that? Why did he have to wear a one-piece garment? Rashi says, because he didn't want that anybody should be choshed him, that he took money from Hekdesh and put it into the hems or into the seams of the garment. They used him to Kiyam Hashem and Yisrael, so therefore he had to wear a garment that had no seams in it at all. Tosfos in Avodah Zarah mentions another possibility that a couple of other possibilities. She'en lo imra can mean it didn't have. You often have garments like that have like fringes hanging from the end of them. We're not talking about the tzitzis fringes. We're just talking about fringes for decoration. Here he didn't, in order that people shouldn't think it's a permanent thing, it's an ongoing thing. They should realize it's only a temporary situation, only for the Shivas and Yamim Elohim. And another possibility, Tosfos says over there, is the word is not Imra with an Aleph, which means a seam, but rather Amra with an Ayin, which means wool. In other words, they weren't like the big Kahuna that have mixed wool and linen. It was pure linen, because after all, it wasn't real big Kahuna, and he wouldn't have been allowed to wear shat. The Maharal has a vote on it, on a deeper level. He says the vote is that Moshe himself represents the ultimate pshitus, the ultimate simplicity, so to speak, of Hashem and of the Torah. And therefore, it's only appropriate that he's wearing a simple white garment. And Rav Kahana is even adding that it doesn't have any hems or seams or whatever in it, also representing the idea that the pshitus of Alakus, which Moshe is representing, is completely uncompounded of anything else. It's all one unit. Okay. So again, so we'll continue tomorrow, Beis Hashem, talking about what exactly a Tainus choice is.
Yashikoyach, a good yom tov.